This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you.
And Bridget, we want to thank everybody again for the wonderful, wonderful golf outing that we had just a week or two ago. And it was great. We had a lot of golfers turn out. It raised some much needed funds for Catholic Radio Indy, and everything except the weather turned out just fine. The weather was modest for the first half. The first half was, I don't know, maybe around 60 degrees or something like that, and overcast. It was cool, but not cold, not terrible. Until the rains came.
Yeah, Jim got rained on, and I was wearing my winter coat, but it was a good time.
I had the honor and fun of driving a beverage cart, which is fun. You get to go meet all the golfers and everything like that, but our cart didn't have a roof on it.
Yeah, they didn't. He had a rag top.
We got a little bit wet, and it was also hard giving away ice-cold water, pop, and beer to golfers who were drenched in the rain. But they all hung in there.
They did.
And had a great time. And so we want to thank all of the golfers for making that happen. All of our sponsors. We had a lot of sponsors. And honestly, on any event, the sponsors are so, so important, because we had hole sponsors, various contest sponsors, and our major sponsor, Merriam Financial Partners. We certainly appreciate their support, and we just couldn't do it without all of those folks involved, and our volunteers as well, because the volunteers every year, it's fun, it's work, but it's fun to get out there on the golf course and do this, except when it rains, which it did, and bless their hearts, you know, if their volunteer was to watch a hole, to observe a hole in one, should there be one, you really get to sit in a golf cart all day watching a hole, knowing that no one's going to make it, which they rarely ever do. But nonetheless, that's what you do as a volunteer in the rain in our case. So thank you to everybody who helped with all of the prizes and all of the committee members and everything like that. All of our volunteers, thank you. It was a success, and we very much appreciate it.
Yeah, and actually one more thing. We had a great speaker, and we have our speaker for the event, Jim Poole. We have that up on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, Catholic Radio Indy, you can watch the speaker for the night. So that was really good. And we've had about 3,000 people watch that. So that's kind of cool for us. Well, today we are going to continue. We've been doing a kind of a series on lay ministry and what that is. And the last four segments we've done have been with the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, but today we have a guest from the Diocese of Lafayette, and our guest today is Jonathan Sullivan, and he is an Irishman, right? We got the Irish rolling the studio today, don't we?
For people who aren't familiar with where the diocese break, I'm sure when those lines were drawn many, many years ago, they were way out in the middle of nowhere, and they were just lines separating the diocese. But as it is right now, our studio is at 82nd Street here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. If you go just about 14 blocks north of here, you'll be on 96th Street. And if you step across 96th Street, you'll be in the Diocese of Lafayette.
Yep.
If you step back south of 96th Street, you'll be back in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So whenever we broadcast, we like to involve both dioceses, and they've both been just super about supporting the stations with giving us guests and topics and things we can talk about.
So we really got off track there, Jim.
We did.
Jim. But our
geography is important.
It's impossible to introduce my desk. Okay, yeah, geography is very important. Okay, so our guest is Jonathan Sullivan. He is the Director of Parish Ministries and Services and the manager of the Office of Catechesis for the Diocese of Lafayette. So welcome to Faith in Action, Jonathan.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And thanks for driving to Catholic Radio from West Lafayette. That's awesome.
Oh, those highways are well known to me because of the work we do down here in our parishes in the Carmel and Fishers area. So
talk about your role in the Office of Catechesis. What do you do, and how long have you been there?
So I've been with the diocese for not quite 3.5 years now.
Okay.
Before that, I was with the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, but we wanted to get a little bit closer to family. My wife's family is in the the Indianapolis area. She's actually a Brebeuf graduate.
Oh, so all right.
She was glad to get back into this area. But my work within the Office of Catechesis is primarily overseeing a staff that includes Evelyn Burton, who is our adult and lay formation specialist, Paul Cifuentes, who's our youth and young adult specialist. And we help parishes to do formation better. We go out and do different presentations for them, bring them together for different community gatherings, bring in speakers to talk about the work of catechesis in the church today, and specifically how we can understand catechesis in the framework of evangelization, because the church tells us that catechesis is just a moment in the process of evangelization. So we always try to ground our understanding of formation and religious education within evangelization, bringing people into an encounter with Jesus Christ so that they can come to know him better, come to love him better, come to know and love the church better.
When I found out that I was going to be interviewing you, I got really excited because I could tell that your gig was evangelization. I'm like, I'm gonna really hit it off with this guy. We're gonna be friends, I know. But
absolutely.
As soon as you brought up evangelization, I looked at your bio and all that. But so I'm exactly super excited about talking to you. So, well, let's talk about lay ministry. What is lay ministry? How do you define that? And I want to talk about maybe your training and background to do what you're doing, because you're in a diocesan role. So what is lay ministry? And then talk about how you got into what you're doing.
So lay ministry is a term that's been around in the church for the last couple of decades and really arises from a situation after the Second Vatican Council.
Have you been that old?
No, it predates me. But it arose out of a situation after the Second Vatican Council where you started having lay people wanting to be involved in ministry, going and getting theological degrees, often as second careers, that kind of first generation of lay ministers were coming back, you know, many of them have been successful in business and education and wanted to use their gifts on behalf of the church and found opportunities in parishes and dioceses to do that. This was a new situation in the church because before, you know, we had lots of priests, we had lots of religious who were able to do that work. As their numbers began to decline after the council, there were opportunities for lay people to enter into that. And so when we start to see lay people becoming involved in Catholic education, in catechesis, but even in some of the more business aspects of diocesan and parish work, so working in finance, working in HR, an opportunity to use their gifts on behalf of the church to help to build up the church. So I'm kind of that second generation of lay ministers where I actually went into theology right from the beginning.
Okay.
Well, not quite the beginning. I actually started out as an education major in college. I was a public school kid up through 12th grade, went through CCD and all of that, went to Mass every Sunday, but took my first real theology class in college and just fell in love. I kept wishing I could find more and more ways to take theology classes. And I always say I'm kind of dense. It took me until right before my junior year to realize, you know what, if I become a theology major, I can take all the theology classes I want and they're not going to stop me.
This is great.
So I switched over at the start of my junior year and then went into a graduate program right after that down in St. Louis. And so I'm kind of that second generation that we've entered ministry right into the start, which has been a little different situation, you know, in terms of how we try to balance our work with the church with having a family life.
Let's talk about your family. You have what? I said seven kids, but you actually have eight.
I have eight, yes.
I was off by one.
Our youngest is just...
That sounds like a full-time job right there.
It is, and I have a wonderful wife who takes on a lot of those burdens herself.
So you practice evangelization right there at home, right?
Well, yeah, in fact, and I often tell parents, you know, when you're thinking about your role of evangelization, think primarily of your family, because if we can't raise up Catholic children... in our own Catholic families, then, you know, all of our other evangelization efforts are going to be much less fruitful if we're not practicing at home. So thinking about, you know, that's something that me and my wife talk about all the time, is how are we forming our children? How are we helping them to learn the prayers, but also learn to pray, which are two different things.
Yep.
You know, really learn to be in intimacy with God, you know, making sure that they're going to Mass on Sundays, obviously as a family. But then also, how are they serving the church? You know, whether that's, we have a few that are servers at our parish. We have one who's really involved in the youth group, one who's involved in some other activities through American Heritage Girls and doing service through that. So, you know, lots of ways in which we're trying to form our children. And again, I also always tell parents, it doesn't always have to be explicitly, quote unquote, faith-based. You know, just the act of going and doing service is going to form you as a Christian. Finding ways for our children to interact with other Catholic families is really important to me. Because just by rubbing shoulders with other Christians, we become better Christians ourselves because we're building up community. The book of Acts tells us that one of the foundational pillars of the church was fellowship,
mm-hmm.
Just being together as church. So
I'm liking you more and more. You brought up the book of Acts, man. We forgot to pray the Holy Spirit prayer before we started. We normally do it. So come Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're talking with Jonathan Sullivan. He's the director of parish ministries and services, and we're just really hitting it off here. What a good old time. Right, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim's writing notes over there. So let's talk about some ways. We're going to need to take a break in a couple minutes, but mm-hmm. let's start by talking about some different ways that adults can engage better in their faith and really, be more faithful, I guess, or
yeah.
connect with God.
Yeah, oftentimes when adults think about trying to engage in faith, they tend to think a little too big, I think, thinking too much about it can get in the way of actually doing it.
Overwhelming, like, what do I do? It's so big.
Exactly.
A
big one for me is just starting with a regular daily prayer routine. If we are not regularly engaging with prayer, then any other efforts we do to build our faith aren't going to be as fruitful. So a couple things I do, I keep just a vibrating silent alarm on my phone that goes off at noon to remind me to pray the Angelus.
Mm-hmm.
I need the alarm because I'm not going to notice that it's noon on my own. There's a great app that the Pope's prayer apostolate put out called Click to Pray,
mm-hmm.
Which offers opportunity to pray for the Pope's monthly prayer intentions in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. And again, it'll give you little alarms. It'll remind you about that.
Do you have a prayer chair? Do you have a prayer space?
I don't. My schedule is so erratic.
Mm-hmm. I have a prayer chair, but you got to go through phases where, do you have, I always like us have to have a certain place to pray mm-hmm. at a certain time. That helps me, but that was number one. Okay, so number two.
Number two, seeking God's grace in the sacrament of reconciliation. Again,
How often would you recommend?
Monthly, I think, is a good mm-hmm. goal to have. Mm-hmm. I don't always get to it monthly myself, I have to admit.
That's your first confession, right?
That's my confession right here. But at least putting it on the calendar, and being aware that we need to have that monthly check-in and just that self-examination to say, where have I failed God? Where have I sinned? And bringing that to the confessional and seeking the graces of the sacrament there. I also like to challenge pastors. I think we need to offer reconciliation times more. I think sometimes we make it hard for people to get to reconciliation. A parish I used to be a member of back in Illinois, they started offering reconciliation for the 45 minutes before every single Mass.
Wow.
And there never wasn't a line. People, if you offer it, people will come.
And the other thing about doing something like that from a pastor's perspective and for those in the pew, I'm coming to Mass anyway. And you know what? I didn't get to confession this week or mm-hmm. whatever. And it's like, it's like one-stop shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? One-stop confessing with before Mass. I mean, really, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, make it easy. That's my mantra is make it easy for folks.
You mentioned that you have a big family and you were mm-hmm. talking about prayer life. You didn't give the age range of your kids, but if you have eight, you've got some little older and you've got some younger. What is a time that you start to engage the children in praying?
Right from the beginning for us, we've been, especially...
Birth, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even before
Thank
then.
Thank God that's over. Thank God you're here.
But for us, it's just praying as a family. And sometimes that's going to mean, the younger ones are toddling around and mm-hmm. running and screaming. And we have a big wooden rosary and they'll start gnawing on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because I'm less concerned about them engaging because, some of those, especially the rosary, some of those longer prayers, their attention span isn't just going to last for five decades.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're seeing us pray. They're mm-hmm. seeing the family engaged in prayer. They're seeing the older kids engaged in that prayer. And that's forming them, just seeing the rest of the family engaged in that. And every once in a while, as a moment of grace, they will sit down and they'll pay attention and they'll start mouthing the prayers. Mm-hmm. If they don't have them memorized, maybe they get them a little bit wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay because it's a process. We can't expect them to be doing it perfectly right from the start. We have to be forming them. They have to be seeing that. And it'll just start seeping into their bones.
And that goes for us as adults. We're not going to get it. We're not going to have perfect prayer times. We're not have, perfect anything,
I often tell the story after I graduated with my graduate degree, my prayer life dried up for about a year because my studies had so much become a part of my prayer life. And when I didn't have those studies anymore, I had to relearn how to pray. And the rosary, which had never been a big devotion for me before, really became the cornerstone just because it was something I could do on the road. It was something that I knew I already had memorized. And through that, I was able to rebuild my prayer life.
We need to take a break. We're talking with Jonathan Sullivan. He's the director of Parish Ministries and Services, and he has a couple other titles. But his big deal is evangelization. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how we can grow in our faith as adults. Stay tuned.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Where do you go for reliable information on what's happening in the world? Where can you turn for rock-solid teaching backed by centuries of unchanging, undeniable truth? Look first to the Catholic Church, and then be sure to tune in right here to Catholic Radio Indy. We are your source for 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. In the studio with me is Jim Ganley, our trusty leader here, right, at Catholic Radio Indy, as well as our guest today, Jonathan Sullivan. He is the Director of Parish Ministries and Services and also the manager for the Office of Catechesis, both serving in those roles for the Diocese of Lafayette. And we're talking about ways that we can grow in our Catholic faith, primarily for adults. So we have touched on some things that parents can do for kids. Mm-hmm. But let's continue with your list, Jonathan, of how we can grow in our faith.
You know, another one, and I'm seeing more people do this. In fact, just in my parish, in the pew in front of me, I saw someone doing this this past Sunday, is taking notes during Mass, bringing in a little notepad, bringing in a pen or pencil, and taking notes during the homily, or if, you know, a particular prayer that's part of that Mass strikes
you. I do that too, notes. And I feel weird. You know, people are like, why is she taking notes? My kids are like, Mitch, why are you taking notes? Mom, why are you taking notes? You know,
well, I have a friend who's not Catholic, and we quite often go out on Saturday nights to dinner or play cards or whatever, they're not Catholic, but sometimes he'll ask, well, what was the sermon about? And sometimes you get that deer in the headlights look, well, what was? And so whenever I'm in Mass, I don't take notes with a pencil and paper, but I make sure
that
if that question comes up, I'm going to have an answer.
You know, and I've seen priests be asked whether, you know, it makes them uncomfortable, and the vast majority I've heard have said, no, it doesn't make them uncomfortable at all to know that people are out there. They appreciate it because it means people are paying attention. It means that they're taking it seriously. And hopefully it means that, you know, the priest is actually saying something worthwhile if people are actually taking notes. So they appreciate that.
And, you know, the other thing that, since you brought that up, I mean, some priests are podcasting their homilies, and I don't know how many are doing that in the Diocese of Lafayette, or if you even know, but that's a resource that I really enjoy because, you know, sometimes your kids are crying or squirming or you're giving them the evil eye because they're goofing around. You get distracted and you can go back and listen to and maybe even look up the scriptures if you didn't bring a pen and pencil, you know?
Well, a lot of parishes have, you know, more than one priest too, and more than one Mass.
Yeah.
And your neighbor says, wasn't that a great sermon? You say, oh, I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, that's so true.
But if it is available on a podcast somewhere, you can go back and listen to what they were talking about and see how great it was.
Yeah.
Go on, Jonathan. I'm sorry. I just throw you off with the podcast, but I just was thinking about that as you take notes because sometimes you want to remember what they said, and I can't always remember what they said. So
yeah, we have a few in the Diocese of Lafayette I know that are doing that. I couldn't name names off the top of my head,
but that's okay.
Yeah, we have a few.
Yeah, it's a good resource. So any priest that's listening, do that. I love it. You know.
Yeah, and just, you know, find a techie parishioner who knows how to get all that set up, and they can do most of the work for them, I'm sure.
So what else you got there, Jonathan, as our to-do to grow in holiness in our Catholic faith?
You know, I think a great way to do it is to become a catechist, because even if you don't feel like you know stuff, teaching others, you're going to learn the material yourself.
That is such a great suggestion. It is really, I mean, if you are teaching, you have to really be up on it.
Yeah. And in our diocese, we have a catechist formation process. So even if someone doesn't feel like they know enough to be a catechist, we have ways of forming them. We have ways of educating them about what they need to know.
But talk about that. I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah.
About that.
So we have a program that's gone back a number of years now where we have a number of 2-hour classes and a number of different levels. So you start out by taking a set of classes at kind of the basic level. You get your basic certificate and then intermediate and advanced and a specialist level. And you can really kind of design it around yourself once you get to some of those other levels, the upper levels, about what your particular interest is or what particular age group you're catechizing. But it came out of a recognition, again, that we needed to be forming catechists because you can't pass on what you yourself don't have. So if a catechist doesn't have that relationship with Jesus, if they don't have that knowledge, they can't pass it on to the kids. And that's the other thing I always tell catechists is if you feel like you don't know enough, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the knowledge part's easy. We have good textbooks. We have good programs to offer to kids. What the catechist role really is to be a witness to the life of a Christian. So it's more about, are they praying? It's more about, are they offering themselves as a sacrifice to the Lord and showing others how to do that? That's the real role of a catechist.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's why the church says the catechist is the most important tool of catechesis. The textbook's important, all the great DVD programs we have, they're good, but it's the person of the catechist that's most important in the ministry of catechesis.
And hopefully they're like really connected to the Holy Spirit too.
Yes, yeah. That prayer to the Holy Spirit is important for the role of the catechist because it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we're inspired to give of ourselves and inspired to share our love of Jesus and the Lord with others.
All right, what's the next point, Jonathan?
Seeking out good Catholic media. And that may sound a little self-serving on Catholic radio here.
Yeah. Well, Catholic radio here, you start right here.
Which, I was giving a presentation to some of our DREs a few weeks ago, and I actually showed a chart of a survey that was done a couple of years ago about the number of hours that 12-year-olds spend on entertainment media. Mm-hmm. And it was over 7,000 hours a year that they're using. And so compare that to, say, 30 hours for religious education a year. Let's be generous and say they're going to Mass every Sunday. That's another 52. I mean, the entertainment just dwarfs what we have to offer in terms of formal catechesis and the liturgy. But if we can take some of those 7,000 hours and turn them into formational hours through reading good Catholic literature, by listening to Catholic radio, by finding good programs online to watch, and then discussing those as a family, discussing the issues that come up, that can turn that entertainment into a formational opportunity.
And there are a lot of good apps out there too. You know, people are so used to doing everything electronically. Are there any apps that that you can think of off the top of your head? I've got several on my phone.
Yeah,
I got some too.
You know, I mentioned the Click to Pray earlier that comes from the Pope's prayer apostolate. Gosh, there's so many different prayer apps that are out there right now. But podcasts, I think, is one of the big ones for me. And maybe that's because I spend a lot of time on the road, and so I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts. But we're really kind of in a golden age right now.
We are.
I mean,
we are.
So many great books that have come out in the last decade, so many great podcasts that are coming up. And podcasts that don't just, you know, teach the doctrine, but really dive into what the nitty-gritty life of a Catholic is like. You know, and really making the faith real and not just kind of an ideal, but talking about the struggles that people go through in living out the faith, about what raising kids as a Catholic is like in the nitty-gritty. That's what I really appreciate about a lot of that, is it's not just presenting the ideal, but really the lived reality of the faith.
And that is so, I mean, that's, we're all dealing with the same struggles, the same questions. Mm. I mean, I think Father Mike Schmitz, he's one of my favorite YouTubers, and I had a chance to interview him at the SEAT conference. And I mean, it's just, life is difficult and our faith is there to help us. Mm. And the fact that you brought up, you know, how making it really real for us. Okay, what are some other tips you have? You got a list there, so we want to make sure we get to them all. We got a couple minutes. We have about 4 minutes left.
Finding ways to serve your parish, you know, whether that's on a committee, whether that's in a liturgical ministry role, you know, that's going to help you find opportunities to build relationships within the parish. And especially with the clergy, you know, if you have opportunities to get to know our priests and our deacons a little better, that's always an opportunity to deepen your faith. And because just, again, getting to know them and having conversations with them is going to help to form you.
And that could be as simple as volunteering to do something at the parish festival.
Absolutely.
Cooking the spaghetti dinner or, you know, whatever it is. You're interacting with other parish members and with the priests and things like that?
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be anything hard. It doesn't have to be anything that you really have to give a lot of thought and energy to.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to necessarily be like a weekly or monthly commitment. It can just be like a one-time event, but just something where you're really, you know, benefiting or putting yourself out to help the parish in a voluntary way.
Yeah. But I also challenge folks to find ways to live the faith outside the parish boundaries. I think too often we expect that people come to the parish to do all this stuff, and so they get the impression that faith happens at the parish. Mm-hmm. But we're not helping them to do that nitty-gritty life of faith outside of it.
Like, give me an example of what that might be.
So one thing me and my family do, which we actually learned from some families in Illinois, was what we call a rosary potluck. You know, just on a Saturday evening, having a bunch of families over, we share a meal, and then we sit and pray the rosary
Small
together.
Small Christian community, right?
Exactly.
Outside, yep.
And again, the kids are running around and playing, and, you know, they may stop in and say a decade with us, but then they're off playing again. That's okay. Again, it's about them seeing that life of faith, seeing that we're gathering with others, that it's not just our family doing these weird Catholic things, mm-hmm. but there's others who want to do that as well. There's other weird Catholics out there, too. We need to gather the weirdos together.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're the springtime of the church right there, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, so what else? Anything else on your list?
That was actually the end of my list.
Yeah. Okay, so what are some of the resources that you can offer in terms of, you know, books or podcasts or other things that the diocese is doing or that maybe you help parishes do in your role?
Yeah, primarily,
in 2 minutes.
Primarily our role is to help the parishes. So we're working with DREs, we're working with pastors, sharing good resources with them. So, you know, a lot of the new DVD programs that are out there, different Bible studies, giving recommendations on those. If people are interested in finding different things, I'm always happy to give recommendations. I always like to kind of customize them as much as possible.
Is there one, like you mentioned Bible study, is there one that kind of sticks out to you that you've been using that you particularly like, that you want? Because people can do different Bible studies just maybe on their own
sure.
in the summer.
You know, for me personally, the best book series I've read is actually Pope Benedict's Jesus of Nazareth. Those three books just are really based on his personal reflection and personal journey of relationship with Jesus. And he just lays it out beautifully. They're not terribly academic. They're not real technical. But they're just beautiful reflections on the different teachings and the life of Jesus. At the parish end, I haven't done it myself, but I have not heard a parish yet who doesn't like the Great Adventure series from Ascension Press.
Yeah, I did that. I did that with Jeff Cavins, and that's is really good.
Every parish that uses it has heard, I've heard just wonderful things, and people come back, and it gets them excited for more. You know, it doesn't just stop at the end of that program, but they always ask, what's next? What can we do next?
Yeah, that's a good one. So could you give the title of that one that you mentioned before with Pope Benedict?
Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth. It's a three-volume series, but each one has Jesus of Nazareth in the series. The first book is on the life of Jesus, the second one's on the infancy narratives, and the last one's on the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection.
And maybe get those on Amazon?
Yeah, on Amazon, you can get them on Kindle. They're widely available. They were, I think, bestsellers when they came out.
And then the Great Adventure Bible Study, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so our guest today has been Jonathan Sullivan. He is the Director of Parish Ministries and Services and the Manager of the Office of Catechesis for the Diocese of Lafayette. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
And we're gonna go out and evangelize together, I know.
Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.